The book of Romans, chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4, we've been working through the book, and we've seen several things. We finished up chapter number 3, it's been a good study for us. We did begin into chapter 4 with verses 1 and 2 just slightly, and as we kind of closed out, but we want to begin reading there, and we'll ask the Lord to help us tonight before we begin our Bible study tonight. Let's pray together. Dear God, we come to you. We thank you again for your goodness. I pray for the Bible Club, Lord, tonight as our children are over there and each one of them are in learning times. Be with the teacher. Help them tonight. Watch over them, Lord. I pray that they would grow in grace and be edified. But I pray, God, tonight that as we study your word, Lord, that you'd use it. We know that it will not return void. But, God, I pray that each one of us would take something from the word of God tonight that would build us up in our faith. Help us to grow in faith. Lord, I pray as we prepare and look for a big day on Anniversary Sunday, Lord, that you'd help us to have the faith to trust you, Lord, and not stagger at your promises according to the Scripture, but to believe that you can bring folks onto this property, Lord, to trust you to save them, Lord, and to see and have victory, and just, Lord, the same hope that you gave us, help us, Lord, to be able to share the hope of Jesus Christ with others. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter number 4, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For what if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." We dealt with those two verses and just mentioned again that this is not saying that Abraham was justified by works. But it was saying that if he was justified works, he could have something to brag on, but not to God. That's all it's saying. Now, going into verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So the truth of the very first three verses is that God imputed righteousness to Abraham, not because of works, but because of faith. He believed in God, that God could. And then God did in the future send his son. He died, was buried, and rose again. And it is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that saved Abraham and everybody, all the way back to Adam, if you want to go that far back, and to the last man that will ever be saved. Every man that will ever be saved, I'll throw you women in too. That's the only two genders, women and men, the only ones that have ever been saved or ever will be saved, according to the Scripture, will be saved by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse number 4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." He talks about and tries to begin to help us understand that work salvation, when you take work salvation for what it is, if you work to earn salvation, you're never going to come up with paid in full. You're going to work, work, and work and come up with more debt, more debt, and more debt. This is the old terminology that the old timers say, you're digging yourself deeper into a hole. There are some people, we have this mentality in the government today. They believe they can spend themselves out of a recession. You say, I don't believe that. No. The only thing that have typically taken us out of recessions is either printing a whole lot more money and they hide the problem, kick it down the can down the road to another generation, or we have a war. And in that world war, we have been always good to produce some more goods and services that we can sell it to other nations. Amen. Amen. All right. Some of you have never taken history class. All right. Or you've been taking perverted history. All right. Here the Bible is going to continue just telling us that we can work and we can work and we can work, but the reward will never be reckoned. Works will never equate grace given to the worker. It will always be faith in Jesus Christ, and grace will be given because we believe God. All right, verse number 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now let me just say here, if you're a worker, that don't sit well with you. But that's good, because God's ways are not our ways. Now, does that mean that someone who is justified by faith will never do any works? That's almost laughable. Because someone who is justified by faith will work. Amen. not to be saved, but because he is saved. He will begin to serve God because of his faith, not to have faith or be justified. The day, again, for every one of us, when we work and we work and we work, anniversary Sundays work. It's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of preparation for every Sunday school teacher and for everybody across the board, for bus captains and everyone. It's a lot of work, but none of that work ever can be plugged into my salvation. I had a big stamp of paid for. You had a big stamp of paid for, but ever before you ever started working. The works don't go towards my salvation. I work because I'm saved. Even when we go back to the foundations of the early church and what we teach on Wednesday night in the Acts class, we're constantly teaching people came to Jesus Christ by faith, and then they became, he gave us power to become the sons of God. He made us witnesses for him, or of him, and to him, unto him, the Bible uses that terminology. So if I'm going to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to witness of what he has done in me. What good would it do to go to the door and be a working salvation person to try to win souls to Christ? What do you have to share with other people? Say, listen, now, if you work hard enough, you could get there. Now, don't be confused. I'm telling you what the work salvation people teach. If you want me to name a few, I will, but it ain't really going to help any of y'all tonight. Jehovah's Witness. Anyway, so I'll just keep going. All right, so anyway, so work salvation is one of those things that people teach, and they're at the door trying to sell you on something. So again, everybody that teaches work salvation, you might as well link them up into a pyramid scheme. They're trying to get you in so that they can get one rung closer to being saved. And if they could just get you to get one, that's going to go on their account. And if I can just get you to give a dollar and everybody gives a dollar, then all those dollars are going to filter up to me. And one day I'm going to be a millionaire. Except for one day the dollars quit coming in and there's debt. Do you know that's the same thing with work salvation? I keep working and I work and I work, and I'm going to get a string of people underneath of me, and then they're going to be producing, and one day I'm going to be able to retire on what everybody else is doing. No, that don't even equate for salvation. It's in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's paid in full. And I'm so thankful for it. But he says here, but for us, those of us that are workers, sometimes we don't like that. We got that mindset that I ought to pull my own weight. Well, in Christianity, folks, once you get saved, you will have your opportunity. Amen. You will get all of the load that you want to pull if you are just a willing servant of Jesus Christ. There's no end to the work until Jesus comes. And we sing about it all the time. If you really want to know the slogan and the marching orders of the church, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes. So what am I doing tomorrow? I don't know why we get so depressed about the work. Because we sing about it, that tomorrow I know what's coming. It's more work. Do you know that the wonderful thing is when you get to do, there's a lot of work in the ministry, folks. I mean, everywhere. You know as well as I'm talking about that some of you have that one kid in your Sunday school class or on your bus route that I had a kid on my bus route, and he's coming now, he's older now, but he used to just sit and hit me. He thought he was a ninja. And I couldn't trust him, right? Alan knows because he comes on our bus route, right? This kid, he was in our Christian school. But, you know, he thought he was a ninja, and I would have to kind of keep him in the seat with me, and so he didn't do it to other kids. I let him abuse me. And once he got wore out with karate chopping me, he was wore out, and he was done with it. He just had to get the karate chops out. And I don't think karate equal ninja, but that's what he was doing. All right? But you know, he grew out of that, and he still comes to church, and he loves the Lord. And you say, well, look, I don't know what God's going to do with him. Someday he may be a preacher, and I'm going to get up and tell everybody when he was 3, he would karate chop me as his bus captain, and he just let me have it, right? And I said, look what God did with him. Amen. Now, we don't always think about that, but the works of God saves us to the work.
not the work saving us to Christ. We get it backwards. We want to earn something and we want to feel good about ourselves, and that's the exact reason God doesn't save us that way. Because rather than being saved by faith in the finished work of Christ, our works would puff us up in pride. We'd want to brag about all the works that we did to get us in. You know, people do that, folks. People get raised up in pride. He goes on and says, I love how he talks about it in David. Now, he's going to talk about Abraham and how Abraham came to God by faith. But he's going to say, now, let me go and tell you what David, under the inspiration of God, said about Abraham. Now, don't forget, Abraham didn't come after David. David came after Abraham. David is of the lineage and the family line of Abraham. And he's saying David got down the road and David said this about Abraham. Why is he quoting that? Because people are reading this and they're like, well, David's a pretty good guy, man after God's own heart. Maybe we could take what he said about this, right? But again, it's inspired scripture because he's quoting the Psalms in chapter 32. He says in verse 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So if you had any question about, is there God, works got anything to do with my salvation? Over and over and over again, this chapter of the Bible is going to say, without works. There's no works of your own. Now, doesn't mean after you get saved, there's no work. Don't get it confused and go, yes, all I got to do is trust in Jesus Christ, and there's no work for me to do. No, I'm saved to works. Amen. I'm justified, not by my works, but so that I can work for Jesus Christ. After I get saved and I'm quickened from a dead spirit to a live spirit, all of a sudden, then I'm empowered and sealed by the Holy Ghost to the work of God. I had no power to do the work of God before I was saved, but now that I am saved, I had the power to become the sons of God because I believed. I was given a power to serve God because now I'm an heir. I'm invested. I'm in the family. I couldn't even get any works in on the family business until I got married in. But now I can work. Now I can pull. Now I'm welcome to plug away at the work of God. He says here, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is all David saying. And again, it's scripture in chapter 32 of Psalms. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, I want you to understand this. Three times before we get to where the writer begins to reckon blessedness, he says three separate times, blessedness, blessed, blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed in the scripture equates happiness. People who have to work for their salvation are not typically happy people, because every time they check the account, they look like, I still owe more. I'm still in debt. I'm still in the hole. There's no happiness. But when I hear that it's been paid for me, I can rejoice. I can worship. I can praise God. I can get on the high horse and tell everybody just how good my God is. And when I'm rejoicing in hope, we don't think about it this way, but we're witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did in me. And all of a sudden somebody else goes, hey, I wouldn't mind having that too. You mind telling me about it? And too many times, what about if we come with the poochy lip disease and say, I'm just trying to work my way to heaven. You can have it too. For three installments, I'm knocking doors, right? No, that's false doctrine. He says here, he comes all the way in verse 9. Again, the writer of Romans comes back in after he's quoted David and said, David, an Old Testament ahead of Abraham, but someone we can trust, wrote in Psalm 32, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then he says in verse 9, cometh this blessedness. You understand this is a question, correct? than upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. You see where he's going with this. Now, when we talk about works, now it's all about, now there's a certain people group or an ethnic group that, listen, okay, it's not of works. We get it. We get it now. It's not of works. It's of the flesh. So I can be an heir as long as I'm an heir of Abraham? That doesn't work, folks. Amen. Just because you're a Jew, you're not saved. Okay? Just because you're a Gentile doesn't mean you get grace in the grace age. Amen. You've got to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, just like Abraham did. And here it's going to go on and tell. It says, how was it then reckoned? In verse 10, when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision. So he says, so all right, let's go back. Abraham got saved by faith. He had his righteousness, the righteousness of God, imputed to Abraham. And when did it happen? Did God do it before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? All right, you can check the record. We could go to Genesis chapter 17 and realize that all the promises of God and everything that was ordered for Abraham to do, and the promises and the imputation of his sins, putting in righteousness onto him, when did that happen? Before God, he was circumcised. Before God ordered circumcision. So all of that happens in Genesis 17, and this is just recalling the record of it. And he says, how then? He says, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision in verse 10. Read verse 10 with me. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all that them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So all of that sounds really, really confusing. All right? And he just powers through it. But he makes this statement. He goes, what was circumcision? If God gave righteousness to Abraham, then why even order that there be circumcision? He said that circumcision is a sign of righteousness being imputed, that he had faith in God. Now you say, well, I know the Jew, that's ordered for all the Jews, and they did that before a child believed. But for Abraham and everyone that would follow, that he would be the father of these nations that would believe. Abraham is set a seal of circumcision in his flesh. It's an outward sign of an inward belief in Almighty God. The flesh did nothing but differ him from everyone else who had not had righteousness imputed to him. It was a seal. Do you know how we're sealed today? Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Because those that will worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. And when you get saved, there's a seal set on you in the New Testament age. And that seal is the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. Old Testament, Abraham is sealed by circumcision in the flesh. And he went to a holding cell prison called paradise until Jesus finished the work and then took him to heaven. I'm glad I'm in the New Testament sealing instead of the Old Testament seal. I'm glad I'm under the New Testament belief looking back at the cross and in the grace age rather than being in the Old Testament where, again, faith still saved, but there was a waiting. There was an anticipation. They were believing in hope. I can believe. Listen, the idea of an Old Testament believing in hope that we're going to read in this chapter was believing that God would do everything he said he did. He was going to do. Amen. For us in the New Testament, we believe God because he did it. We have hope today. Our blessed hope is the return of Jesus Christ. In Abraham's day, the blessed hope was the coming of the Messiah, in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And just like when that was done, they were caught out of paradise. And you can think this is paradise for you, buddy, today. But one day when Jesus comes, you'll be caught out to a place that is so much better than this. A place in a place where streets are made out of gold, because gold ain't worth that much. Where the gates are made out of pearl. Now, I know that don't mean a whole lot to you and me men, but some of you ladies, you know, man, a gate made out of pearl. Amen. Right? Walls made out of, nice stone. Beautiful. Beautiful. Gems. And not set in a wall. That's what most of us think, right? It's this brick wall where they set a few diamonds in it. The wall is the stone. We miss sometimes the blessings of the scripture because we just really, again, we don't, here he goes, he's going to move on past this, and he's going to continue to talk about the promises that were made. And again, faith is always going to be measured by things that are in the future. Faith itself is the, again, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself. I hope you did come to study the Bible and to use it tonight. So Hebrews chapter 11, I'll wake everybody up, and you elbow the person next to you, wake them up and tell them we're going to Hebrews 11, chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. The definition of faith. There are all kinds of people in the world that'll say you can't define faith. God did. He did it in his word. Yep. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now why would you work for salvation? Because what you really want to obtain is a good report before God. But it's really a blessing to us when we realize that my report could never be as good as the one of the Son of God. And when I'm justified and he puts his account on my account, what a report I receive. You say, well, what about after that, preacher? Yeah, the Lord starts marking things as well. There's a good reward. There's a well done, my good and faithful servant. My check, if you want to say it like that, there'll be a check on me just like it will be you and how I serve God. But here he says, for by it. By what? What keeps me going? What keeps me chugging? Is it the work? No. It's the one I have faith in. Say, what do you wake up? You wake up and sing, we'll work till Jesus comes. You know, looking forward to the work. Not every day. I'm just going to be honest with you. Not every day do I just jump out of bed. Just completely ninja kick right up out of the bed onto my feet and go, wah, work. I wake up in the morning and things hurt. Sometimes I wake up and go, why am I awake? And I check to see what time it is. And then I remember that I'm saved. That I'm on my way to heaven. That I'm not living a life like everybody else in the world that wakes up and thinks to themselves, I owe, so off to work I go. I wake up and I go, again, my heart begins to get tight when I think about the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only begotten Son, died on Calvary, came from heaven and died for me that I might get up today and serve him. That I've got just this day to serve God, the one that died for me and paid a debt that I could never pay. And today, I get to do all that I can do for him. I don't go to work just for the work's sake. I go to work because of my faith. I go to work and I don't want to waste a minute because of my faith. See, sometimes we get our eyes on the little kiddos. And I do want every one of them to spend every moment they can in heaven. I want them to be saved. Sometimes I get my eyes on the lost crowd and people that are just so far from God and don't really even know the truth. And my heart is broken for them, and I want them to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I see others who are lost in religion. And they think they're trying to get up that hill like the little train that could and go, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And my heart breaks as I look at them in the distance, and they're shoveling coal as hard as they can, trying to make it to the top. If I can just crest the hill, then that will be enough to be saved. And it won't. Why do I wake up? I wake up every day because I realize that man needs Christ, but I don't work for him. I realize if I worked for him, when I get to the top of the hill and he still chucks and I say, stop, this will never get you to heaven. Let me tell you about the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how you can know. You know what sometimes they tell me? Get away from me, fool. You're just a cult. If I can just crest this hill, I'll make it to heaven. You know sometimes what the little kids tell you? What their parents told them? I don't want to go to heaven anyway. There's going to be a party in hell. That breaks my heart. Why do I keep working? Listen, you can't work for people. I love people because Jesus loved people. I serve people and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ because I want to be a witness of my Savior. But if I start working for people, they're going to break my heart. They're going to put me out of the work. They're going to break my heart because when I serve them and I serve them and I serve them, one of them's going to kick me while I'm down. You say, preacher, people are like that? People are like that. And we're talking about lost people. Don't get me started on saved people. He says here, he comes all the way through the scripture. I mean, all the way through the book of Romans, and we're going to turn back. But look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand. You know, oftentimes we don't read past what faith, we understand what faith is. But my faith helps me understand why this world is going crazy. It helps me understand why I wake up and why I do what I do. And without the faith to understand, sometimes I feel like an ant in a yo-yo. And just spinning and spinning and spinning my wheels. But when I understand what God is trying to accomplish. See, God, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Do you know if we didn't know where we began, we'd be a mess. It'd be hard to have faith if we didn't know where we started. It goes on and says, so that things which are seen were not made by things that do appear. Do you know that scientists would love to be able to write a better statement than that, but they can't think one up, not better than what God wrote. When they try to come up with the Big Bang Theory, these things collided and boom, it was all there. And then you go, wait a second, where did the things that went boom come from? They go, I don't know about that. Or then they go off and, you know, because the first thing they think about, because they had a chili dog at lunch, was there were two big balls of gas. And they start trying to reason with their own mind how things that were never there appeared. But when I tell them, hey, I believe by faith that God, by his word, spoke things that never could exist into existence. Because that's the kind of God he is. And when I was lost and on my way to hell, he made a way for me to be saved when there was no way. That's what faith is, folks. That's how we get, I mean, when we get down, and then it goes past that and says, and you know, it's just by accident that it sets on chapter 4, by faith Abraham offered unto God. By Abel, unto God, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He goes on to the first man that sinned. He's getting to Cain. Abel gives a sacrifice according to what God. Now, if you're not careful, what do you think? It's works. Right? Now, listen, how it doesn't say works. It says by faith Abel offered. Do you know that every one of those, it wasn't the work of the sacrifice of a lamb. It was by faith believing that there was going to be a lamb slain that could pay for all sins of the world. One day a lamb will come. One day the Lamb of God will come. And even here, it's not by accident we realize that throughout this chapter, by faith, by faith, by faith. In chapter 1 or 11, verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. You know, ultimately for me, when I start working through the foundation of everything that's here, and even for Abraham, Abraham was the friend of God. And when you're the friend of someone or love them, do you know ultimately your desire is to please them? And when you realize It's not hard to come to a place when you are thankful for what Jesus did for you and you want to know some way you can please him. He wants you to do it by faith, but without faith. Do you know faith, what really pleases folks is when you, when they say, think about this, even you and your significant other. By faith, they say, we'll meet here at 12 o'clock. And you trust they're going to be there. Amen. And you show up in faith that they're going to be there where they told you they would be. And you meet together. We don't often think of that as faith, but that's a small amount of faith here on this side of heaven, isn't it? But what about when God says in Genesis 3:15 that I'm going to send a redeemer. And Abraham, he has to look back all the way through the line of Seth, all the way to Adam, and he says, he hears over and over again, God said that he would send a redeemer. And another father tells another son, God said he would send a redeemer. God said he would send a redeemer until it got to Abraham, and Abraham became the friend of God because he more than somebody else just believed God and took him at his word. Even according to the chapter, and we're kind of slowly running out of time, go back to Romans chapter 4, and I want to close. We're headed to a place here in the chapter where we're going to realize that Abraham, he believes God, and it's accounted for righteousness. But look, if you would, at verse 13, for the promise that should be the heir, he said, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We don't often think about this as, you know, we think about verse 11, and we talked about the sign and the seal that was there of righteousness in verse 12. And the father, we read this, right? And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That sounds very complicated, but the things that are really trying to stick out and make sure is not necessarily Abraham or even those that would follow it, but it's contrasting. Did Abraham... Now, don't get mixed up, because most of us, we realize that Abraham is given a few things to follow, but it's not till later that Moses comes along that he's given the law. But people are still hanging on to it and pointing all the way back to Abraham, keeping the law, and that the law is this, or that the law is the promise. And he said the law is not the promise. The law is going to be shown clearly through this book to be the schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus Christ. But here, the promise is not of the law or keeping of the law, because that would be a promise of work salvation. He said the promise was made to Abraham, and he finishes the statement, through the righteousness of faith. That means Abraham believed God, and God imputed righteousness to him because he just believed. Believing is having faith. Every man that's ever believed, you say, you're beating a dead horse. Am I? Because we live in a day and age where people not only believe in works, but they mix works with grace. And it's not just our day. There are books of the New Testament that are specifically written because Paul writes to the Galatians thinking they've been bewitched because he taught them not faith by works, but faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden they turn back into faith plus circumcision, faith plus works, faith plus all these things. And he calls it being bewitched, that they've been put under a spell of someone's words. Do you know the same thing? If we don't study our Bibles, if we don't get solid on what we believe as believers, then people can walk up to the door and with just a few nitpicky verses that they'll pull out of the scripture can wave a wand over you and have you doubting what you believed and what you've been taught all your life if you're not careful. But let me say it like this. You probably won't get one of those at your door, right? So all you got to do is pull up a YouTube video and somebody has waved a wand over you and got you believing that everything you've been taught. Now, as preacher, I'm going to quote Pastor Carter on it. Some guy that couldn't get two people in his backyard garage to sit and listen to him preach will get on YouTube and have you confused about your salvation because the only crowd he can get is people that will watch him on YouTube. But you'll want to come and want me to prove him wrong. And I'll be mad and go, why are you watching him to start with? I'm still trying to work till Jesus comes. And you're watching YouTube to try to disprove the Bible. That's not what I set out to do, preacher. No, but that's what happens in this age. Over and over again, because they made a video, they have to be an expert, right? Because it was on Facebook, it has to be true. No. We live in a day and age, this book, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I don't believe that because we sing it. I believe it because I found it in this book. I don't preach salvation by the finished work of Jesus Christ because I saw a YouTube video. I preach it because I found it in this book. I serve him and wake up every day with hope, with happiness and a blessedness that David said he had too, because I'm not going to hell. Not because of what I did, not because of my works, but because of the finished works of Jesus Christ. Listen, tonight, we're getting ready to go into Anniversary Sunday. And it would be so good if we could again remind ourselves that Jesus did something for me that I could never do for myself. Nothing will get the Christian on the top side of their Christianity like just remembering who you used to be without Jesus Christ. Remembering what he did for you and what he gave you that you could never give yourself. And realize and then say, I'm going to live for the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll wake up and live for this man. For the man or the woman you look in the mirror. And he ain't worth working for. But there's one in heaven. Amen. The Bible says he holds everything together. By him all things consist. You know, they have that big thing, the atlas. It's got the world like this. Jesus don't have to do that. He just speaks and it happens. He speaks and it spins through space. He speaks because by the word of God, all the things that you can see around you and you can see out in outer space, they were all framed by the very words of the one that came and died for you. And when you realize that, it is not hard to have faith that he can keep the rain back on Sunday. It's not hard to pray to him and ask him to fill the buses up. It's not hard to pray to him and believe that he can bring lost people through the back door because we've invited them and they want to come and find what God has for them. It's not hard to believe that God can do above all that I could ever ask or think if I just would trust him by faith. Believe in him by hope and hope against hope that man today would have a big day on Sunday. You know, sometimes we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. When we get this close to a Sunday, I start praying, God, if you want to come, I'm all right with it. But if you could just give us one more big Sunday. You could just have people come. If we could just run the buses one more time before you come. Let us give everything for this time. Let us spend ourselves in the work of God. I believe in you. Help us. Listen, folks, tonight, I don't know where you are. I don't know where God is with you tonight, but I believe God can. I believe him by faith. I believed him by faith for my never dying soul. So I'll just believe him for everything else as well. I don't know, this week, this prayer back here, maybe the one accord of the Landmark Baptist Church this week could just be praying, God, I believe you can. God, I believe you can. God, I believe you can. Do it again. Do it like you've all. Do it above we could ever ask or think. I want that. We need to beg God for it this week. These next 3 days, as you get your prayer time, I ask you, pray in hope that God will do something that we could never do, and that we would not get or receive the glory for it, but people would go, that had to be God and what he did there Sunday. Amen? Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, as we come to you, God, we realize you're so good. God, I realize how powerful you are, and Lord, we are believing in you. I'm thankful for the picture of Abraham in the past and how, God, he believed you and you accounted it for righteousness. Lord, I watch and see all the things that you did in the life of Abraham and how you showed yourself strong, and in David and all these, even in Abel, Lord. And God, I pray tonight that you'd be strong in our lives, God, that you'd show yourself mighty this Sunday. You show yourself mighty through the weather, through the people that you will draw to this place. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be diligent and work, not because we need to be saved, but because we are saved. Help us to go the extra mile, not because we need to be saved, but because we are saved and we have a hope that other people don't have. Help us, Lord, this week to trust in you to do big things that people might be saved, lives might be changed. Lord, we do look for your coming. Help us, Lord, to be faithful till you come. In Jesus' name, amen.